Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And today we're going to do a recap of WWE Superstars on WGN America, as well as your spoiler-laden look at tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into all of that, of course, we're going to take a look at some of the news and notes from around the wrestling world. And one of the big ones is, of course, we talked about this all over the message board this week, but I don't think I mentioned it on Monday's show, the release of Carlito. Carlito had an addiction to prescription painkillers, and he got busted by WWE. They asked him to go to rehab. His family found out about it. They asked him to go to rehab, and Carlito just said, nope, forget it, I'm done. He did not want to... He didn't want to go to rehab. He didn't want to get over it. He's been unhappy in WWE for a long time, and it's basically, you know, your standard stuff. He doesn't like to do work and really wants to be world champion. So you put those two together, it's an unhappy situation. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. So he used that as his out to get out of the company. Primo, though, is still under contract. No problems with Primo. And as far as I can tell, there's no heat on Primo. A lot of times when, you know... guy like Jeff would do something and Matt would stick up for him and Matt would also get some heat in the company, that kind of stuff. None of that's really going on with Primo and Carlito. So Carlito's out and gone and probably won't be coming back for a very long time. Another piece of big news, a couple weeks ago, Randy Savage got remarried. Her name is Lynn Payne, and everybody says she looks like Elizabeth, which is a little creepy, I guess. But apparently they met when he was 22 and playing basketball down in Florida before he got into the wrestling business, and they've reconnected. And Macho Man also is sporting a new look these days. He looks a lot like superstar Billy Graham. He has short hair pulled back into a tiny little ponytail, more like a little like rat tail type ponytail thing, and a big beard, and all his hair is white. Or gray, I guess. But regardless, new look for the Macho Man. So, and his new wedding really, you know, for the last several years, he's tried to play it off like, yes, he's old, but he's ready to get back in the ring at any moment, you know. And he did make occasional TNA appearances in the early days of that company. But he hasn't really done anything the last few years, and it looks like he's finally put wrestling behind him. So Randy Savage may end up in the Hall of Fame. There has been talk... whatever the beef was between Vince McMahon and Randy Savage, it's been long enough that there was talk that maybe he'd be going into the Hall of Fame sometime in the next few years. So you never know. You never know. The other thing going on right now is, of course, Hulk Hogan has filed a lawsuit against Post Foods and Cocoa Pebbles cereal. Now, on the one level, this seems completely ridiculous. They have a commercial, and there's a guy named Bulk Boulder who looks like Hogan from the 80s. He's the wrestling champion. They eat some Cocoa Pebbles and power up, and they're able to beat up Bulk Boulder. And, you know, you think it's the Flintstones, okay? Of course. Everything is stone, rubble, boulder, you know, So they make a guy. It's going to be Hulk Hogan, but they don't license the rights to Hulk Hogan, so it's Bulk Boulder. It's parody. And you'd think that's fine. And when I first saw this lawsuit, I thought, this is crazy. Hogan has lost his mind. However, doing a little more looking and diving into this, because Hulk Hogan, his real name is Terry Bollea, he wrestled under the name of Terry Boulder and Hulk Boulder early in his career. In fact, he at one point he was Terry the Hulk Boulder, and that's what eventually became Hulk Hogan. So because Boulder was a big name he used in his persona, and he may actually have copyrighted Terry Boulder, Hulk Boulder, earlier in his career, he may actually have a lawsuit here. He may actually have a legitimate case. Now, he does go on to say that the character is his likeness, and he is shown humiliated and cracked into pieces with broken teeth, which is degrading to his character, which is his brand, which that may seem to go a little too far. But just the fact that it is Boulder, he did use that name. He may have the rights to it, so there may actually be a lawsuit as far as that goes. So that's pretty interesting, I thought, because, of course, you know, you first see it and you think he's crazy, but then doing a little more research, he might have something there. Also, some other news out of TNA is a list of names were brought to Dixie Carter for guys that they thought should be released in order to save some money. She flat out said no. The only person who was released so far is David Penzer. And the only reason was he was being paid show by show. Jeremy Borash, who is the new ring announcer, he had a guaranteed money contract, and he was being used as the main event announcer and the backstage interview guy. Christy Hemme is also under a guaranteed money contract. So they decided, since they had those two under guaranteed money contracts, Christy Hemme will do all the backstage stuff. Jeremy Borash will do all the stuff in the ring. David Penzer, sucks to be him. He didn't have the contract, so he's out. That was a simple cost-cutting measure they could do. Dixie Carter, despite whatever flaws she has in running that company, she has said she doesn't want guys getting released. Especially, you know, in this economic period. So she is fighting tooth and nail to keep all those guys on the roster. So you got to kind of give her some credit for that. They have done some other cost-cutting measures. Some of the people that they've brought in to help with television production from time to time, they've cut back on. They can just kind of keep the, you know, television tapings under budget. And just some of the other stuff, doing house shows, little cuts here and there to save some money with some of the equipment that they travel with. But, some money is being saved, but, she is refusing to cut anybody. Of course, if some people ask to leave, I'm sure that they will not worry about letting them go, let them do whatever else they want to do. The only other thing really to talk about right now is some interesting notes that came out about WWE and their viewers. We've talked a lot about how their television ratings are down, how they used to be, 6-7s back in the glory days. Now they're down to 3s. 3.7 is going to be a high show as opposed to, a 6.4 several years ago. One thing, though, that's amazing is while they're actual ratings points have dropped by half, the actual number of viewers is only down about 20%, which is a little odd because, you would think that it would be a higher percentage of people not watching, but it really is not that big of a drop percentage-wise. The rating numbers have dropped just because the television landscape has dropped. If you look at television as a whole across, compared to video games, streaming, Netflix, everything like that that competes with television nowadays, WWE is only down 20% in actual physical faces looking at the TV screen. So while we may look at the ratings numbers and say, gosh, that really is terrible, when you look at some of the other shows out there on the landscape, there are no shows really competing on the same level as shows from 10, 15, 20 years ago. Even your big shows like American Idol, or, you know, those huge reality shows that get all those big numbers, those numbers still pale in comparison when you look at classic ratings for shows that everybody watched, you know, the early days of NBC must-see TV, like Cheers and The Cosby Show, you know, back in that era. If you look at the ratings for shows like MASH or All in the Family back in the classic days of television, those had much higher ratings points, even though they were smaller total numbers of eyeballs. So there's this trend now that's emerging out of TV ratings to actually look at the number of eyes. There's a difference. You have ratings points and you have viewer share. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit before, but it's a difference between how many people are watching your show versus how many people are watching your show compared to how many people are watching TV in general. And granted, it's a lot different landscape today when you have 200 channels compared to, you know, 20 years ago. I grew up in a house that didn't have cable. So at the most, if we could pull in, you know, PBS stations and, you know, the independent channels, whatever, at the most we maybe had six channels to choose from if the weather was good and we could tune them in. You know, but for the most part, you had your big four networks. And everything has changed so much that they were kind of surprised when they actually broke out the numbers and said, you know what, it's not that big of a drop of how many people were watching. And the viewership, they have, you know, of course, noted that it has changed. Back in the, you know, big era of TV, you had that 18 to 25 demographic, and now they have the 35 to 40 demographic. You know, so it has shifted. It has gotten older as time has gone by. So they haven't lost a whole lot of people. And a lot of the people, you know, have stuck around. But again, it shows that problem of picking up new viewers. So as much as they've, you know, made that push in recent years, you hear people talk about, well, I just don't watch it as much as I used to. That's the vocal 20% that has tuned out. For the most part, the other 80%. You know, they're still watching. And so that's really interesting when you think about a lot of the trends in television and things that happen. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with your rundown of WWE Superstars. Not in a lot of depth and detail, but we'll go over all the main points from that show, and then we'll be back to take a look at Friday Night SmackDown.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. As always, I'm your host, Dirt. And now we are going to turn our attention to WWE Superstars on WGN America. WWE Superstars opened plugging their main event match, Zack Ryder versus Evan Bourne. Now, to be honest with you, if you had told me that a month ago that you know, hey, our main event's going to be Evan Bourne versus Zack Ryder, I probably would have turned it off. Well, no, that wouldn't have turned it off. I'm too big of a wrestling nerd to actually turn it off. But I would not have been excited. But after watching those two wrestle, I believe it was 2 weeks ago on the Buzz Aldrin show of Raw, I actually got pretty excited. Evan Bourne and Zack Ryder had a really good match on Raw, and so I was really looking forward to that main event. Will it pay off? We'll see. Opening match, though, SmackDown match, JTG versus Cody Rhodes. It was all right. It was a pretty good opening match. They got a fair amount of time. They went through a commercial break. But in the end, JTG goes for a near fall, jumping off the second rope. Hits a swinging neck breaker that he kind of messed up a little bit. He's selling the move, unable to capitalize on it, and so Cody gets up to his feet first, hits an enziguri, and hits the crossroads, gets the pin on JTG. And I have to say, JTG actually looked a lot better on this episode. The last few weeks on SmackDown, he's been all right, but he's had some problems in the ring, and this one actually looked okay. This match looked a lot better. So hopefully whatever problem he was having, maybe he had a slight injury or something, I'm not sure, but looks like he's gotten over it because he had a pretty good match here with Cody Rhodes. And to be honest, I haven't been all that excited with Cody Rhodes for a long time, but this match was all right. Let's see here. Next up, we got Yoshitatsu versus Primo, and this was a Raw match. They had Primo working as a heel, which was a little odd because he was a heel when he came out, took Ted DiBiase's money, and beat up R-Truth, but then he was a face. I believe it was on Superstars the next week. He had a face match. And then now he's back to being heel again. So probably because they've just released Carlito, they're going to put Primo into some of the spots they had in mind for Carlito. So I guess it's good for Primo that Carlito's gone. He can take over for him, but a little awkward to see him, you know, thrown around like that back and forth, but they had a pretty quick match. It was fast-paced, but, you know, nothing too special about it. It just kind of bogged down into being just your average, you know, nothing special match. There was really not a lot of crowd reaction, and, you know, I think Yoshitatsu's a guy who has promise as a worker, but he doesn't really have a whole lot of charisma that comes across with the crowd, and that's something he needs to work on, because there's really no connection that he makes with the crowd, and that's kind of a problem. But if they could work that out, I think there is something to be said about Yoshitatsu in the long run. It's just a matter of whether or not they need to put him with a manager or just have him take some acting classes or something. But, you know, I mean, it was average match. You might even say it was below average just because it seemed so bland and nothing special and not a lot of excitement for it. You had a recap of NXT with all the neat stuff going on with Daniel Bryan, which I have to say, it's made NXT interesting, but I still can't say I like the show. And it's going to be ending, and they are talking about doing another quick season of it. They keep going back and forth, deciding what they're going to do with that NXT time slot. Now it looks like they may, in fact, do another three-month season of NXT to try to push somebody out. So be interesting to see if maybe Dos Caras Jr. is going to show up on NXT and be their big rookie that they push like they're pushing Daniel Bryan. Finally, our main event for the night, Zack Ryder versus Evan Bourne. This is another Raw match, and this was pretty good. Probably on par with the fun match they had on Raw a couple weeks ago. Might even actually be a little bit better. You know what I just realized? Talked about that Yoshitatsu match. Talked a whole lot about Yoshitatsu. Didn't talk about who won. Yoshitatsu won that. So, if you were wondering what was going on with the former ECW star Yoshitatsu, there you go. He beat Primo. All right. Zack Ryder versus Evan Bourne. It was a fun match. They did a lot of neat stuff. Here's, I guess, one thing I really like about it is that Evan Bourne, usually they put him in these matches with guys on Raw who obviously he's not going to beat. You know, they put him in there with Batista, or they'll throw him in there with, you know, Sheamus, or, you know, one of those things where it's obvious the guy's not going to win. He's in a match with a guy like Zack Ryder. I'm not a huge fan of Zack Ryder, the woo-woo guy, but when he's against a guy like Zack Ryder, there's actually a chance for the match to be, you know, competitive. And I think, A, the fact that it's, you know, Evan Bourne versus another mid-card guy, lower mid-card guy. It's on Superstars, you know, which is not, of course, their flagship show or anything like that. That it really, they just allow him to do the type of match he wants to do. They just say, Evan Bourne, you know, you're going to go over or you're going to lose, whatever. Just go out there, hit some high spots, have some fun with it, and do that. So they did, you know, through the commercial break, wrestling came back. It had a lot of energy. They were doing, they did a few, you know, submission moves, but there was a lot of high flying, spin kicks and top rope jumps. Bourne goes up for an airborne. Ryder shakes the ropes, which, you know, knocks him down. And everybody knows that he goes up for the airborne. That's his big finisher, which in other matches, it's just like, oh, he's going for a high risk move. But with a guy like Evan Bourne, that's the finisher, you know, fight off. And, you know, a lot of neat stuff like that. Ryder tries to hit a Zack attack. Bourne reverses it, goes up for the airborne, but Zack Ryder dodges out of the way. Zack Ryder then hits the Zack attack, hits Evan Bourne, gets Evan Bourne for the pin. So even though Evan Bourne lost, I still love the match. Again, not a big fan of Zack Ryder, but those two guys had a just an excellent, fun match here. I guess one thing I also like about Superstars is that, you know, the matches, since they're not really storylined as much, again, they're just saying to these guys, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to kill, you know, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is on TV, then just go out there and wrestle, do your thing, and the guys can just go, and they can just have a fun match. If this was, you know, these two same lower mid-card guys on the WWE roster, if they were the main event at your local indie show, this would be the, you'd be like, that's an awesome indie show. You know, if these two guys wrestled on ROH, you'd be like, this was a great ROH match. These two guys are on TNA, you'd be like, these guys are great. These need to be moved up to main event TNA guys. And on WWE, they just kind of get, you know, shoved aside and thrown on this show, which is a little sad when you think about it in certain respects. But in other respects, it's great to know that WWE at least has enough programming options that when you sit there and watch Raw and you're like, oh, you know, it's another Sheamus, John Cena thing going on. Ugh, who cares? You can at least turn to a show like Superstars and see something different. And this does feel like the first hour of the way shows used to be. You know, if you think back to, again, we talked earlier about the glory days of WWE. They usually opened with a promo, and then the next 45 minutes of Raw were matches like what we're seeing now on Superstars. Now they're showing up on Superstars, and all of these great matches that they used to throw on the undercard, instead they have all the goofy skits and the celebrity hosts and all that kind of stuff on Raw. So Raw is really morphed into something else. If Superstars were to get canceled or something were to happen and they were to drop the guest host, drop all the skits, and move these back onto Raw, then I think you'd have the higher viewership numbers and you'd have a classic Raw show. But I was kind of watching this episode of Superstars thinking, this is really what's missing from Raw most weeks. Are these matches where, you know, Zack Ryder gets a win on Evan Bourne. Does that put him in line for the U.S. title? No, of course not. But it's still good wrestling. It's a fun match. It has energy. These are, you know, guys that are fun to watch. And that's kind of why Superstars is becoming a favorite show of a lot of people who just want to see some good wrestling. You can get video recaps of all the big angles on Superstars, and you get fun matches. So it's an hour-long show. You got three matches. Think of your average episode of TNA, or, you know, even a lot of times on Raw, you watch an hour of Raw, you'd be lucky to get three matches. And two of those matches, you know, the wrestling's only going to go about 4 or 5 minutes. So Superstars is definitely a show that you need to check out. And because it's only an hour also, I think that that helps to keep the feeling down like you've been watching for a long time. A lot of times 2-hour shows, especially Raw, It just feels like it goes on and on forever. A lot of those shows are five-hour shows. Kind of like this podcast, how I sit here and I ramble sometimes, and I talk for, you know, 8 minutes just about superstars and about the dynamics of the show, as opposed to actually talking about any of the actual wrestling, and it just feels like the show goes on and on forever and ever. And that would be the point that if I had a sidekick on the show, like, you know, the news guy or whatever, this would be the time that he'd be making fun of me or playing sound effects, stuff like that. So instead, we are going to shift our attention to SmackDown. And again, as what we've been doing the last few weeks, our grand experiment continues. I'm going to sit down now, watch the first segment of SmackDown, and then I'll be right back with my views and impressions on it. So if you don't want SmackDown spoilers, now's the time to turn off the show. I'm going to miss you, but this is the only way you can avoid spoilers. For the rest of you, we'll be right back. All right, we got a pretty standard SmackDown open for these days. We got a video package highlighting the fact that Undertaker is returning tonight. So it didn't say who he was wrestling, but for a guy like Pixel Dan, doesn't matter. Undertaker's back on, so this is a must-see show. Show open with Teddy Long coming down to the ring, talking about Fatal 4-Way. He said that on the SmackDown side, Big Show, because he had won the match by DQ against Swagger at the pay-per-view, he had qualified. Said CM Punk versus Kane would be a qualifying match, and Rey Mysterio would be The Undertaker's opponent this evening in our main event. So at this, Drew McIntyre came down to the ring. He was fully geared up, oiled, and ready to go. He got in the ring with Teddy Long and said he should still be the Intercontinental Champion. His arm was cut. Teddy should have stopped the match. And he said it was Teddy's fault that the match continued. He said as long as Teddy can't do his job, he would do his job for him. And Teddy, you know, said, I know you're angry, but you didn't have the right to smash up my office. And you don't have the right to come out now. So Drew went on his kick again about how he is the future of the WWE, chosen one by Vincent McMahon. And Drew pulled out another letter. This letter said that Matt Hardy, because of his actions, is suspended without pay. And Drew McIntyre said that basically this is a warning, and if you don't do what I tell you to, basically the next letter is going to be about you getting fired. So Teddy Long leaves the ring, and as he's leaving, Matt Hardy's music hits. Matt Hardy comes out on the stage, and Teddy Long stops him, and you know, Matt just wants to come out and attack Drew McIntyre, but Teddy Long has security hold Matt back and pull him backstage. And as security is pulling him back, Drew McIntyre grabs the microphone and says, Matt, it's because of me that you're suspended. Remember that. So at least they're hyping up a feud between those guys. Should be interesting. We'll have to see how it actually plays out. But I'm guessing that McIntyre is in a match after the commercial break. Otherwise, he got oiled up just for the ladies. Anyway, I'm kind of getting the feeling, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of getting the feeling that we're going to find out in the next couple weeks that Drew McIntyre is writing these letters himself. And I kind of get the feeling that Mr. McMahon is going to reappear on SmackDown as the ultimate face, going to put his full faith in Teddy Long and say that Drew McIntyre has been doing these letters himself, which will do some sort of angle. I'm not sure exactly what, but I just kind of get that feeling because of WrestleMania. That was supposed to be the end of the Mr. McMahon character. And so out will come Vince McMahon, the nice guy. And he'll be face Vince for the foreseeable future, at least until his, you know, grandkids are old enough that he can turn bad again on TV and they understand that he's just a TV character and that Grandpa is not really that big of a meanie. That's just kind of my feeling on that. But anyway, so Matt Hardy pulled back by security, and we go to commercial. Wow. Ha! That's all I can say. Wow. So basically, Drew McIntyre's in the ring. They announce he's going to be going up against Kofi Kingston, but it's in a tag match. So out comes Jack Swagger to be McIntyre's tag team partner, and they announce Swagger as the world champion and the All-American American as usual. And Swagger has a microphone in his hand, so as he's walking to the ring, he re-announces himself as still the world heavyweight champion. And he re-announces himself as still the world heavyweight champion like 5 times on his way down to the ring. He just keeps repeating it. That was awesome. Out comes Kofi Kingston, and then out comes Big Show. And they basically started out letting Kofi get the heat on the guys. They end up basically reversing it, where Kofi goes from being the guy who's taking on both of them to getting overpowered by him, and he basically just gets beat up for, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however long it was. I'm not sure exactly how long this match was. I forgot to look at the clock, but it was long. They went through a commercial break, came back with it on the next segment, and it was fun. It was really good. The two heels were working really well together, and they just kept beating up on Kofi, kept beating up on Kofi. He could not make the tag to Big Show. And that's one of the things with a guy like Big Show. He's slow, he lumbers, he has a lot of power moves, but he can't do a whole lot, and he can't go very long either. So they did a good job of just keeping Big Show out of the match until finally Kofi is able to make the hot tag. McIntyre, makes a run for Big Show, tries to hit him with the Future Shock DDT, but gets tossed around, gets squashed. Swagger tries to jump in, but Big Show hits him with a clothesline on the ropes to flip him to the outside. And then he grabs McIntyre by the hair. He makes his fist. He yells, and the crowd pops like crazy. He looks at Swagger, looks back at McIntyre, who he's holding on to, and then he just punches him dead in the face with the knockout punch while he's holding his head up. And, you know, drops him, gets the pin, 1, 2, 3, Big Show and Kofi win. And this was so great. This was, you know, when you protect Big Show and use him right like this, where he comes in and only does, 90 seconds of wrestling, then that's using Big Show correctly. And it worked. And it worked on the crowd. The match was pretty well paced. Didn't break down. There were spots with submission moves, but they were good breather spots. It didn't slow it down, kill the momentum. And Kofi is very good at being the guy that you beat up on, and he sells. And I loved it. For the opening match on the show, this was really good. This was really exciting. So they had that good match. Big Show, Kofi Kingston get the win, but because he knocked out McIntyre, Swagger grabs his title, backs off, and backs up the ramp, still showing the fact that he is champion, whereas Big Show playing off the power of his punch, as those two guaranteed to face off in Fatal 4-Way. 2 more people to be chosen tonight, and quick little promo for Rey versus Undertaker for your main event, which should be pretty good. I am loving this episode of SmackDown. I mean, just everything about this episode of SmackDown is just wonderful. They showed CM Punk backstage. You were looking at him from behind. He had a towel over his head. Of course, he had his head shaved at the pay-per-view. And he's standing there with Serena and Luke Gallows, talking about how he doesn't want to go out in front of the crowd, how he's supposed to be better than all those people. They're going to mock him. Luke Gallows, Serena reassured him everything will be fine, and CM Punk remembers that he is better than everybody, so he will go out there and proudly rip that towel off his head and show everybody. So he then pulls the towel the rest of the way down to block his face, and he stands up, turns around, and they go out to head to the ring. So no idea what he looks like bald underneath there. Interesting. I loved it, setting up for the reveal. So then we get a shot of Vicky Guerrero in the locker room backstage. She is staying there with the two clowns, Vance Archer, Kurt Hawkins. She was speaking in Spanish, something about 15 days. They said, don't worry about it. Reminding of their gimmick, they have 30 days to make an impact on SmackDown, get a contract, or they're out of there. So they said, don't worry about it. We're going to make an impact at, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So she told them to get out of there. Suddenly she became very happy as Dolph Ziggler entered the office, and he actually got a pop from the crowd. Everybody kind of popped for him, and then it kind of turned to a boo because he is a heel. But that's really good for a guy like Dolph Ziggler to get that kind of recognition. Like, when I heard it, it was very spontaneous. I was kind of surprised by it because I am a Dolph Ziggler fan, but I really haven't, heard that coming from the crowd like I heard it tonight. So that was encouraging. She basically, you know, said, thanks for sticking up for me last week, really made an impression on me. And he said, it was no big deal. And she goes, no, it was a big deal. And then she kind of like gets up in his face and gets like all breathy. And she's like, you know, the fact that you helped me out and I owe you a favor puts you in a very enviable position. And so Dolph Ziggler thinks about it for a second. And he's like, oh, you're right. I couldn't stand to see those guys beating you up. I had to do something about it. I had to go out there and teach them a lesson. And so, you know, she checks out his butt while he's doing it. She's got this big necklace on. You've probably seen it the last couple weeks. It says Cougar on it. So, you know, playing up that whole thing. She basically says, I put you in a match tonight. It's going to be you and your... let's see, I'm going to put you in a tag match with my nephew, Chavo Guerrero, and you two will be facing Christian and a special partner I have chosen. And she leans in real close and whispers, Hornswoggle. So probably the one way you'd want to use Hornswoggle is to make him a handicap and have Hornswoggle and Christian versus Chavo and Dolph Ziggler. And of course she... says to Dolph Ziggler, there's more where that came from, and he gets this look on his face like, you know, he's not above hitting Vicky Guerrero. Not hitting Vicky Guerrero, but, you know, hitting Vicky Guerrero in order to get a push. And it was one of those, like, creepily disturbing yet entirely awesome segments. And of course, as Dolph Ziggler walked out, they zoomed in on the cougar necklace on Vicky and got a big close-up on it. So that was great. So cut to the ring, Straight Edge Society comes down, and CM Punk has the towel over his head, and the Serena, Luke Gallows, they're helping him find his way to the ring. He tries to stop and run back a couple times, and they drag him down to the ring. So gets all the way down to the ring, gets in, does his big reveal, pulls off the towel, and he's pulled to dirt. That's right, he is wearing a mask. This is awesome. I'm going to have to get one of these. This is great. It has a big star on either side. Kind of looks like Super Astro or Matt Classic. And then in the middle, there's a star in between the eyes and an SES going down his nose for Straight Edge Society. And then, of course, he still has his beard. So he's got this skin-tight head mask with the stars on it, and then this gigantic, epic beard just pushing out that hole at the bottom. It looks fantastic. Like I said, I'm gonna have to get my hands on one of these. I'm gonna have to watch places like Wrestling Depot or High Spots and wait for one of these masks to appear, because I am definitely going to get my hands on one of these. Looked great. So, you know, all in all, I am very happy right now. Dolph Ziggler getting a push, excellent segment with him and Vicky, and then CM Punk in a mask. Love it. Love it. Great episode of SmackDown so far. So then we got a commercial, but it's going to be CM Punk versus Kane next. So let's hope that doesn't kill all the momentum. All right, CM Punk versus Kane. Fairly standard match. It was fine for the most part. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Kane, but this has got to say something. I finally realized today that Kane has new pants. And I was looking at these pants, and I'm like, wow, those are different pants. When did he get those pants? Because, you know, his pants used to be part of his whole outfit, but then he took off the shirt for whatever reason, and he was wearing just those pants for a while. So I go on WWE.com, and I pull up photos from the pay-per-view. Yep, he's wearing those pants. Huh. So I go to the SmackDown page, and I start looking at pictures from this year, him fighting all the NXT rookies, and... you know, just whatever angles from the last couple months. And, yep, he's wearing those new pants. So, let's got to tell you something, Kane. When you pay money to have new pants made, I didn't notice them for months. What can I say? I guess I'm just not looking at the bottom half of Kane's body. I guess he doesn't do it for me. So, anyway, before we get into this, yes, I want to go back to what I said before the break. Yes, I do understand CM Punk is in this feud with Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is going to be taking a vacation. He'll be gone for a while. Punk's wearing the mask. It'll probably come down to when Rey Mysterio returns, CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio in a mask versus mask match to unmask CM Punk. I get that. I understand that. But, hey, Wearing a mask is also my gimmick, and this is my show, so I'm going to claim it's about me. And if you don't like that, well, I mean, you're right, and but regardless, I don't care. So, CM Punk versus Kane, it was a fine match. There were a couple noticeable things. They worked on Kane's leg, which was legitimately injured, but he didn't look... It looked like he was selling more tonight than at the pay-per-view when he was trying not to sell, and you could see he was injured. So, he's probably recovering just fine. So, I guess that's good news for Kane. Also, they did a spot where Kane went to throw CM Punk over the top rope, and CM Punk tried to catch himself, and he slipped, and he landed hard on the apron and fell to the outside, and it took him a little bit to get up, and you could tell that he was supposed to catch himself, and he didn't. And so that looked a little tough right there. But ended up being the storyline, of course, that CM Punk would be working over Kane, trying to get an advantage, and Kane would go for the mask. CM Punk would have to beg off, you know, fight off in order to keep the mask on. So they did that back and forth quite a bit until finally Kane goes for a choke slam. CM Punk escapes out of the choke slam and tries to put Kane up in the go to sleep. So Kane goes for the mask. So CM Punk, you know, drops the go to sleep in order to, you know, save his mask. And so instead, he turns back on Kane, boots him, grabs, hits him back in the go to sleep, and he hits the worst. Like, I could tell, you know, he puts him up on his shoulders, and I could see Kane get his arm in position to push off, to go up, to hit the go to sleep. But Kane's feet hit the ground, and Kane was standing before he hit the level at which CM Punk brings his leg up to in order to hit Kane. Like, it looks like they didn't practice the move beforehand, so CM Punk really didn't know how high he was going to have to get it. So instead, it looked more like this awkward... He dropped Kane down to his feet and then hit him with a boot to the gut or something. Like, it looked wrong. It just looked terrible. But Kane sold it, and CM Punk pinned him. And it's funny because CM Punk pins him and gets the win, and immediately Luke Gallows jumps in the ring to celebrate, but immediately CM Punk jumps out of the ring because he wants to get the heck out of there and save his mask. And so you can see this look on Luke Gallows' face where as soon as he jumps in the ring, he realizes Punk is jumping out the other side, and he's like, oh, crap, now I got to get back out. Jumps out of the ring, and they celebrate the win going up the ramp, so... Nice segment. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Kane matches. The two of them worked together fine here. It didn't seem to stretch on too terribly long. So, all in all, I'd say I was pretty happy with it. All right, so we got a commercial break, and on to the next segment. And another fun segment. This was Christian and Hornswoggle versus Dolph Ziggler and Chavo Guerrero. And I had to say that actually everyone in this match looked really good. Chavo came out with Vicky. Vicky, of course, making googly eyes with Dolph Ziggler the entire time. And basically what happened is Hornswoggle wanted to tag in. So Chavo immediately gets the upper hand on him. And they start just beating the crap out of Hornswoggle. They start doing all of these humiliating things with him. Chavo's stepping on Hornswoggle's head. He goes to, to tag in Ziggler, and so he body slams him right in front of the corner, then steps on his head and tags in Ziggler. And, basically they just beat up on Hornswoggle until finally Hornswoggle is able to duck underneath an attack, roll over to his corner, tag in Christian. Christian versus Chavo has some fun exchanges until finally he's able to hit Chavo with the kill switch and get the pin. And so, of course, while he's celebrating, Dolph Ziggler gives a look to Vicky, jumps in, grabs Christian, puts him in the sleeper, knocks him out, and leaves him there. And Vicky looks very pleased with Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph Ziggler looks at Vicky like, yeah, okay, why not? So it was fun little exchange there at the end. But, I mean, the match looked good. A guy like Chavo looked really good in the match. He usually doesn't get a whole lot to work with, and especially doing all the stuff with Hornswoggle. But they've gotten past that storyline where Chavo couldn't beat Hornswoggle. Thank God. So they had a fun little segment here. Everything looked good. And, again, really happy with it. So nice stuff all the way around. Good idea. So anyway, they again hyped the main event of Rey Mysterio versus Undertaker. So go to a commercial break and we'll be back. All right, so next up we get the Straight Edge Society coming down to the ring. Not CM Punk, just Serena and Luke Gallows. Luke Gallows is going to be wrestling solo tonight. So let's see, he comes down to the ring, then out comes MVP. The two of them start out as like a boxing match, basically circling around, trading jabs, till finally they lock up. MVP hits a belly-to-belly on the Luke Gallows, and the two of them have a fine match. I think it was a solid match. It just didn't seem very dynamic, I think, is the problem. Guy like MVP usually hits some more athletic-style moves, and this one just seemed to slow down a lot more than I expected between the two guys. Again, it was fine, but I think I wanted a little more of a splash to it. But again, this is the pre-main event match, so they probably had to tone it down a little bit for that. Again, it's acceptable. It was fine, you know, but that, it, you know, it'd be a 2-star match instead of a 3-star match type of deal. You know what I mean? So eventually what happens is Gallows takes a powder to the outside. MVP attacks him out there, throws Gallows back into the ring. And then as MVP is climbing up the apron, going up to the top rope, Serena jumps up on the opposite side, grabs the ref's attention. So MVP climbs down to see what's going on, and the masked man comes running out from underneath the ring, hits a DDT on MVP on the apron, and then slides back under the ring. So MVP rolls inside, gets hit by the 12th step, and Luke Gallows is able to get the win over MVP. So even though MVP loses here, I'm fine with it overall, because he still looked strong, and overall the story was pretty good in the match, even though, like I said, I wish it was a little more dynamic, but overall pretty good. So okay, here's the part where you really have to walk a fine line. Rey Mysterio versus Undertaker was well booked. It was well planned, well thought out. It accounted for the size difference between Rey Mysterio and Undertaker. It accounted for the speed difference between Rey Mysterio and Undertaker. It did a very good job of showing how a little fast guy can work against a bigger, stronger guy. It did an okay job of telling the story in front of a crowd who likes Rey Mysterio and who also likes The Undertaker. So on all those levels, it was a good match. However, The Undertaker has returned way too early. He did not want to come back this early. He wanted to be off for the summer, do WrestleMania, be off for 3 or 4 months, come back at the beginning of fall, and start the cycle again. He is hurt. He is slow. He had a hard time recovering. You could just, everything about this, and you know they had to bring him back because their top guys are getting hurt, or, you know, guy like Batista just quit. They've had all these fluctuations after the draft. They have all these big problems. Rey Mysterio wanted to take a vacation. That's why he shaved CM Punk's head. That's why he actually loses this match. Undertaker wins the match, so Undertaker is in the Fatal 4-Way. And Rey Mysterio is going to be gone for a month here. And just Undertaker is just not firing on all cylinders. And Matt Stryker, they even, you know, had him plant lines like, oh, this is the best shape that Undertaker's ever been in his entire career. Look at that extension. He's so good. And it's total lie. He looked pretty bad here. He looked pretty hurt. He was very, very slow. And so, You know, it's like, on the one hand, the match was well thought out, but on the other hand, it was just, it was poorly executed because he's hurt. Not because he doesn't know what he's doing, you know, not because he's some sort of liability in the ring. He's just physically not at the point where he should be doing these big matches. You know, he still needs time off to recover. So, I'm assuming they had the match now. He's going to be in the pay-per-view. I'm assuming he's not going to be wrestling any more matches until the pay-per-view. He'll probably come out, make an appearance, do one of those things where, you know, the SmackDown before the pay-per-view, the lights go out, they come up, he's in the ring, hits someone with a choke slam, and he disappears again, type of deal, setting up for the pay-per-view. But really, basically what it came down to, Ray hits the 619. Goes for the springboard. Undertaker grabs him for the choke slam. Ray breaks free. He gets pulled into a tombstone, but breaks out. Goes to the ropes. Goes to do a springboard moonsault. Gets caught directly into the tombstone. Undertaker drops him. Wins. And at some point during this final exchange, Undertaker got smacked in the face and his nose started to gush blood because it was just pouring out. If you've ever seen that Andrew WK album cover, the one, if you remember, in the stores, they had the big black sticker over so you couldn't see what it was until you peeled off the shrink wrap and you saw he had that big bloody nose. That's what Undertaker looked like. He had that big Hitler mustache of blood. It looked pretty gnarly. So all things considered, you know, it was still fun to watch because, again, it was well thought out and it was well played. Ray was still dynamic and fast, but Undertaker just looked in really bad shape here. And I'm a little worried. You know, he wanted to take like 2 more months off and they brought him back already. So I'm a little worried about his long term here, but, so they're getting him ready for the pay-per-view. We got Undertaker, Big Show, Jack Swagger, and CM Punk for your Fatal 4-Way World Heavyweight Championship match. And there wasn't much celebration either. Undertaker won. He sits up. They show the graphic of all the guys who are going to be in that main event. And then that was pretty much it. That was pretty much just the end of SmackDown there. So did a quick replay so you could see that Undertaker won, but they knocked the lights down low, and Undertaker just taking big gasps of breath, and even, you know, Undertaker dropped down to do his one knee thing, and when he dropped down for the one knee thing, you could still see that he was hurt. He had a hard time getting down on one knee. That's how hurt he is right now, so yeah. I'm a little scared for the guy, you know. I'm going to trust him. You know, he's not going to come back if he thinks he can't do it, and he's a pretty long veteran of this business, but I got to say, it's not looking good for him right now. So that's going to do it for today. Wrapping up our show, I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, don't forget we have plenty of other podcasts. We got The Weigh-In, which I believe will be going up in about an hour. We've got a new Comics Corner column going up today. We've got a brand new episode of That New Toy Smell dropping tonight. Tonight, tomorrow morning, I don't know, tomorrow morning, tonight, sometime along those lines, That New Toy Smell will be dropping. We'll have Operation Retro Shock over the weekend, just lots of good stuff going on, plus we'll have a new entertainment podcast debuting next week with our buddy Legion, and I believe J-Raz is going to be joining him on that, so lots of stuff to look forward to around the site. Of course, plenty of episodes of Not Meant in Box, Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, if you're unlucky, maybe we'll get another Thoughts with Duvall. So anyway, thanks guys for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
Clang, clang, clang went the bell. Went the bell.
Bang, 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 bang.
Went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell.
Yeah!
Went the
Kali!
Bump, bump, bump went.
Thumb, thumb, thumb.
Thumb, thumb, thump went my heartstrings.
Yeah!